So last night, we heard how Krishna tried to convince his father that he was very much needed in Mathura, and in order to protect Vraj, he should stay away from there, and that both his father and he should carefully conceal the depth of their relationship for now. But neither Krishna nor his father believed these words. In parting, both the father and son were thinking how to give the least pain to each other. These words were spoken only because there was nothing more that Krishna could say. He was unable to return, and they were unable to accept that he could not return. Both Nanda Maharaj and Krishna were driven by pure love. Now here is a great transcendental mystery, inconceivable to the minds of an ordinary devotee. Being all-powerful, how could God become unable to do something? And how could God become overwhelmed by anything? How could God be crying and lamenting? Isn't he beyond these petty human emotions? How could God tell a lie, especially to those who trust him the most? It is too confusing. Without proper guided understanding, these exalted pastimes appear to be too confusing. But I think that last night when we heard how Krishna was trying to convince his father that he should return to Braj without him, it was a bit of a shock for us all. Although externally speaking, we can empathize with Vasudev, who definitely placed his two sons in Gokul and therefore now deserves to keep them by his side again. Still, I think I can speak for all of us when I say that we would have all preferred if Krishna had returned to Vrindavan and stayed there. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this pastime by saying that in one form, Krishna actually never left Vrindavan. He never set foot on the chariot. Invisible to Akrura, Krishna never left. Then what about the grief of the Brajavasis? Sometimes they remember that Krishna is present, and sometimes they experience Vrindavan without Krishna. Similarly, Krishna remembers and also forgets that he is always in Vrindavan. This is a great mystery known only to very few. It is inconceivable to logic or intelligence, and therefore we have to humbly hear these pastimes very carefully. Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men and the boys returned sadly to Vrindavan in order to give his elder brother and kinsman the same sad news that Krishna had told him. Nanda had sent a messenger to Vraj. When the messenger arrived, the people of Vraj gathered together to hear this intolerable news. Still tightly bound by strong ropes of hope, Nanda's elder brother Upananda and the other Vraj residents were thinking, because they had been waiting a long time, they were thinking, perhaps this day will be different. They all gathered for a great meeting on the summit of a very tall hill. Taking with her multitudes of girls, ladies, and bold girl messengers, all yearning to learn news of Krishna, Braja's Queen Yasoda, partly hidden by the great crowd around her, went to that meeting. Then, when everyone saw Nanda and the boys in the distance and noticed that Nanda was not joyful, they began to fear the worst. Then Nanda arrived and he told them everything. Unhappy, now seeing Yasoda full of grief, Nanda had somebody read aloud to the assembly the letter that Krishna had sent. When Krishna's letter was read, everybody felt wonderfully consoled. For half an hour, hot and cold tears flowed from every person's wide open eyes. They flowed down every person's cheeks. And how many tears did Mother Yasoda weep? Then Upananda said wisely, even though we are distressed, we should not disobey Krishna's command. Even when he was a child, his every wish we always fulfilled. He always protected us. And it was because of him that we abandoned the Indra Yajna. We obeyed him. So how much more should we obey him now? We should all stand up and we should act in such a way that Krishna's words will not be spoken in vain. We should act in such a way that when he hears of our proper actions, Krishna will be happy. After hearing Upananda's very appropriate words, the people in Vraj said, everything in Vraj should be made ready to greet Krishna on his return. All who truly love Krishna must act in this way. And then they thought, if we, his affectionate kinsmen, call to Krishna and ask him to renounce this kingdom and to become a cowherd boy again and to again protect the cows, will he not accept our invitation? Will our invitation not bring him great delight? At once we should secretly send him a letter and invite him to come back immediately. And in this way only, all our sufferings will perish. Although their hearts were full of grief, the people of Braj tried to find some hope. As they went through the motions of performing their regular activities, as for Yasoda, from the moment that Krishna left Vrindavan, it was as if she had already died. Without Krishna, nothing had any meaning for her. Everything she thought and everything she did was for Krishna's pleasure. Hearing that he was not coming back immediately, she bundled up all his little toys and his cloth and his ornaments. She no longer cooked. She stopped eating, sleeping, or taking care of the house. She sat with her eyes tightly closed. The only thing she wanted was to see Krishna again. And from her closed eyes poured tears and tears and tears. Nanda Maharaj was also unable to do anything but lament. Meanwhile, in Mathura, Vasudev had decided to very quickly perform the sacred thread ceremony to initiate his two sons into the Gayatri Mantra as Kshatriyas. The residents of Vrindavan were not invited to this occasion. Then, seeing that his two sons were unable to relate to Devaki as their mother, Vasudev called for the immediate return of Rohini. Rohini's departure from Vraj was extremely painful for Yasoda. When Rohini arrived in Mathura from Vraj, Krishna and Balaram met her and offered their obeisances to her and hugged her tightly. At that moment, Mother Yasoda suddenly appeared manifest in Mathura. Please hear of this great wonder. Yasoda was manifest there in the heart of Rohini. She came through Rohini's heart and not through the heart of Krishna or Balaram. The ways of love cannot be understood through mere intellect. Falling down at Rohini's feet, Krishna remembered his mother, and at once he began to weep and weep and weep. Rohini wept also, wept just like a grieving Kurari bird, hearing of Mother Yasoda's feelings of separation for him. Krishna wept and wept. Then Vasudev wanted his two sons to receive a good education, and it was decided that the best place for them to go was to Ujjain or Avanti. Out of fear that Jarasandha may attack if he knew that Krishna and Balaram were not in Mathura, this going to Avanti was kept very secret. But this was Krishna's desire, because he did not want the residents of Braj to know that he was going far away. He knew how this would affect the people. So Krishna and Balaram traveled incognito by foot and accepted Sandipani Muni as their teacher. And they were excellent students. For 60 days, each day, Krishna and Balaram studied and mastered a single topic. But now I will describe what Krishna and Balaram thought in their hearts. Night after night, as he was about to take rest, with Balaram by his side, Krishna, with tears in his eyes, would talk about the people of Braj. As he slept, again and again, he talked with the people of Braj in his dreams. As it remembers this, my heart burns with anguish. Krishna said to Balaram, "Oh, my brother, so that I may not forget the people of Braj, I try to place thoughts of Mathura's people in my mind. But those thoughts only remind me of the people of Braj. I try to think of Mother Devaki. But when I say the word mother, it only reminds me of my mother Yasoda. I try to place thoughts of Father Vasudev in my heart, but the very word Father reminds me only of my father Nanda. I try to think of my friends and my kinsmen in Mathura, but the words friends and kinsmen remind me only of my friends and my kinsmen in Braj. What can I do? How shall I be able to pass the time absent from Braj? Her sleep broken, my mother must be thinking of me right now, and my father must be thinking of me in the same way. They both love me so dearly. They think of nothing else. My body burns in a great fire. Alas, alas, although I yearn to embrace the people of Braj, I have somehow fallen into the flames of separation from them. Then shedding tears, like a great rainfall of tears, Balaram consoled Krishna by saying, "Brother, I myself wish to leave everything behind. I wish to leave all this behind and return at once to Braj. It is you who are reluctant to return. Even if you try to forget them, you cannot help but remember them again and again. Although you do not return to Braj again and again, you manifest yourself there. You manifest yourself there. You manifest yourself there before the eyes of your mother and all the other people of Braj." Sri Krishna replied, "Yes, yes, it is true. Even though I again and again appear before them, they think it is just a dream or hallucinations. And even I have come to think that it is only a dream. What should I do? Night after night, the two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, tearfully spoke in this way. And then they would hug each other and fall asleep. One morning, when Krishna awoke, Krishna, who is like a great ocean of love for the gopi girls of Braj, he thought to himself, "Last night I saw myself enjoying a rasa dance with the girls of Braj. Was that a dream? No, it could not have been a dream, for my body is still fragrant with the sweet scent of the girls of Braj. Alas, my vow of brahmacharya has been broken. After 2 months, Krishna and Balaram returned to Mathura. They had not been able to send any message or receive any message for those 2 months. and Krishna again became anxious to visit. Thinking of his father and knowing that only the sight of him would pacify his heart, Krishna spoke to Balaram. Balaram replied, he said, "You are afraid to disobey the command of Vasudeva and the Yadava elders, and they will not even touch the idea of allowing you to depart. Therefore, you should seek advice from my mother Rohini. She knows both Vraj and Mathura." After speaking in this way, both Krishna and Balaram wiped the tears from their eyes and asked Rohini, "Rohini Devi, has anyone come here from Vraj?" Rohini replied, "Many people came, but they were unable to see you, and they sadly departed." Krishna and Balaram said, "Did they know we had gone to another place?" Rohini replied, "They did not clearly know. But if they cannot see you for even a single eye blink, your friends and kinsmen become filled with 10 million worries." Then Krishna asked Rohini if she thought it would be possible for him to go secretly overnight. Maybe nobody would notice. Rohini said, "Again and again I have suggested such an arrangement, but they will not agree. Their associates who stay around their sides are absolutely opposed to this idea." Talking in this way, Krishna and Balaram began to cry. Their eyes filled with tears. Finally, they all decided that they should send a messenger to Vrindavan. Krishna decided that this person should be expert at understanding what is in the hearts of others and should at once be sent with a message to the people of Braj. Now Krishna thought very carefully about this. Who could he send as a messenger? What qualifications would that person require? That messenger would have to be an expert judge of what is appropriate in every situation. He would have to be extremely intelligent and liked and respected by both the people of Mathura and of Braj. He should be a person, thought Krishna, to whom I have no hesitation in expressing myself, and he should know the customs of the people of Braj. And in his heart, he should know about both my Aishwarya and my Madhurya pastimes. There's a reason for this. Krishna is so transcendentally, perfectly intelligent. He was thinking, if I send somebody who only knows my madhurya, my sweet pastimes, when they see the grief of the people in Braj, they will become so sad that they will not be able to deliver my message. And if I send somebody who only knows my Aishwarya pastimes, my majestic pastimes, he will think that my dearest Madhurya devotees are acting impiously. And if he only knows a little bit of both pastimes, he will find fault with these exalted devotees who are overwhelmed with love for me. If he only knows a little bit, he will be quite useless. While he was thinking like this, Krishna was thinking who to send. And then he suddenly remembered. He said, yes, how foolish I am. It's just like a person who forgets they're wearing a Chintamani jewel around their neck and is searching everywhere for a valuable jewel. Of course, the perfect person for this task is Uddhava. It is Uddhava who I should send my message to the people of Braj through. It is Uddhava who is full of love for me and who knows me as their only goal. Now, shall I tell you a little bit about Uddhava? Uddhava is Krishna's cousin, and he looks exactly like Krishna. Same height, same colored complexion, same beautiful eyes. Uddhava is vastly learned. He's a disciple of Brihaspati, who is the guru of the Devas. And all the Yadavas, everyone in the Yadava dynasty, they praise and respect his intelligence, and they always ask him for his expert advice. However, due to his knowledge of Krishna's greatness and his love of Shastra and his vast intelligence, his love for Krishna is a little restricted by knowledge of Krishna's greatness. And also, he has some pride in his learning. But because he dearly loves Krishna, and Krishna dearly loves him so much, Krishna wanted Uddhava to experience something that he had never, ever seen before. He wanted him to see unrestricted love. So Krishna called for Uddhava, who is like a festival of bliss, and he sat with him in a private place, and he took Uddhava's hand in his own. And as they cried together, and their hands trembled from their touch, Krishna glorified Uddhava's wonderful qualities. Then he spoke to Uddhava about the service he wanted him to perform. "My dear Uddhava," he said, "now I will tell you about the sorrow which is impossible to uproot and which is like a lance pushed into my heart. I know that I become bound by sincere love and devotion. My heart is even bound by devotion mixed with hatred. Putana bears witness to that fact. She pretended to be my mother, but Yasoda never pretended. She's really my mother. How can I not be attached to Vraj, which is full of the love of Yasoda for me? I am like my mother's life breath. Once to teach me a lesson, to teach me a lesson, she tied me up. Remembering this, my heart has no power to even slightly loosen the bonds of love that I feel for her. And then my father. Don't be so harsh to my little boy. He is slightly mischievous because that is the nature of small children. Mother tied me up for only a few moments, but by these words, I am bound to my father forever. Without me, how can they stay alive? I don't know. The hope that I will return is keeping them alive. Dear Uddhava, they are the moon, and the people of Mathura are the reflection of the moon. When I see the people of Gokul, I do not remember the people of Mathura. But when I see the people of Mathura, I remember the people of Gokul again and again. At this time, I have no power to return to Braj. So kindly, accept the role as my representative and go there on my behalf. Privately, tell them my message. Pacify them and give them pleasure. Repeat my message. And Krishna told him, do not rely on your own expertise. Just repeat my message. And my message will give some consolation. And then they will become peaceful. Krishna also told him, I have sent so many messengers, but they only repeat my words. They do not say anything using their own intelligence. What more can I say to you? Observe the situation of the people of Braj and speak to them over and over and over as my representative. Uddhava replied in a choking voice. He told Krishna, a musical instrument of strings knows nothing of ragas or melodies or musical notes. However, when it is touched by an expert musician, when it is touched by an expert musician, that musical instrument produces beautiful melodies that delight the learned listeners. Gazing at Krishna, his senses now stunned, Uddhava departed. In the past, Uddhava had heard from the mouths of many people about the people of Braj and their love for Krishna, and he had always yearned to see it, to see them. Some people say that Uddhava left Krishna's association to go to Vraj. But the truth is that in every tree that Uddhava saw in Vrindavan, placed the form of Krishna before Uddhava's eyes. In that place, Krishna sat down and ate his lunch. And here he played with the cowherd boys. And over there he danced with the gopis. Uddhava became full of a festival of wonderful bliss. Then, as Uddhava approached the outskirts of Nandagram, Krishna suddenly manifest his form before the cows and all the other creatures and made them all full of bliss. Unseen, therefore, by anyone else, except and covered, unseen by anyone, his chariot covered by the dust from the cow's hoof prints, Uddhava entered Vraj exactly at the sun set on the western horizon. Then bringing the chariot to a stop at the entrance of King Nanda's palace, Uddhava, accompanied by his servant charioteer, descended from the chariot and sat down in the courtyard in front of the palace.